Well, crisis. When I read scripture, the scriptures appointed for today, what I see is crisis and the medicine for crisis. Are you with me? Now, you know, when I'm preaching too long, just go like this. And I know there's going to be a difference of opinion because some are going to want me to go on and some want to get out at 11 o'clock. But feel free to go like this and I'll feel free to discern whether the Spirit is speaking through you. According to the reading from Haggai, it was a crisis. You see, the people had high hopes. They returned from exile in Babylon to the promised land, and they had the promises of Isaiah ringing in their ears. They imagined if only they make the hard journey from Babylon to Jerusalem, everything's going to be peaches and roses. And they arrived in Jerusalem and found the temple in ruins. They experienced profound poverty. The houses the Jews had lived in were in ruins, and suddenly they were in the midst of crisis. To make matters worse, the people who lived there didn't want them to rebuild the temple and were making things very difficult for them. And so what they did was they lost hope. Their hopes had been founded on the great promises of Isaiah, and they interpreted those promises to be being fulfilled here and now, and they were disappointed. They were disheartened. And 18 years later, after years of scratching in a nearly barren earth to eke out a living, after 18 years of leaving the Lord's house in ruins while they struggled to build their own houses, the word of the Lord came. Amen? Amen. The word of the Lord came through Haggai. And what he said was, what do you see when you look at the temple? What do you see? The strong emotions were evoked. You see, the temple is important. The temple is seen as the navel connecting heaven and earth. The temple is the corridor to the living God. The temple is the place where human beings meet the living God. And when the people looked at the temple, they had strong feelings. The old people who remembered the glory of the first temple were weeping. The younger people who had seen the little bit of progress they had made in the 18 years were kind of happy because they're moving forward. It may be slow, but they're moving forward. And so Haggai is calling attention. And he's addressing the crisis. He says, "So now, be strong. Work. For I am with you. My spirit stands in your midst. Do not fear." See, what needed to happen was the people needed to find hope reborn. And I'd like to suggest that sometimes it requires a journey into hope. How is your hope tank? Is it full? Are you walking in confidence that the Lord is in this place and together God is building a new day for the Methodist Church in Patchogue?
Amen.
God sent you, Pastor Chuck. Oh, a new life is happening. And there are important things you care about together. Is your hope tank full? It isn't always. You see, the Sadducees were materialists. They believed in this life and did not believe in the resurrection. When they posed the question to Jesus, they were trying to trap him and shame him. But Jesus came back at them with a sharp, smart answer from the book of Moses. Our Lord is the God of the living. There is resurrection. When our loved ones pass from this life, they pass into the nearer presence of God. I know I needed to journey into hope. I may have been baptized and I may have spent the first 2 years of my life going to church, but when the second child came along and no one was there to help my mom, we drifted. And I never saw the inside of a church again until I was 13. By that time, I was a sociologist. Isn't it interesting what they do? But I was looking for a reason to believe. And God did finally scoop me up, and that's another story for another time. But I decided to follow Jesus when I was 19 years old. I didn't know Jesus. I wasn't raised in the church. I just made a decision. My life is unmanageable, and I'm going to hope that this Jesus stuff is real and pray that he guide me into new life. But in what did I hope? I hoped there was a such thing as the resurrection, but I didn't yet know it in my bones. As the sermon was beginning to come together, I did a little last minute research on Facebook. And my question was, help me beef up the sermon. What makes you anxious? And what gives you hope? Well, I should have done it last night. I only got a couple of responses. So I'll ask you, what makes you anxious? My son brought home a newspaper a few days ago. The headline was, "We've lost faith in America." Mental health professionals are saying this election is causing high anxiety and stress among people of all political persuasions. Some people fear if so-and-so wins, we'll be in nuclear war. If so-and-so wins, we'll blah, 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 blah. How's your hope quotient? I invite us today on All Saints Sunday, the Sunday before the election of the next president of the United States, I invite us to come humbly before the living God and to say, you know, not my will, but yours be done. You see, Haggai had a prescription for the lost faith that his people experienced. They needed to journey into hope. They needed to hear the prophet say, take heart. Don't fear. The Lord is with you. And then they needed to respond. For you here in Patchogue to have all the ministries you have, I'm guessing a bunch of you are involved in the ministries of the church. Amen? Amen. And give yourselves a hand. God has a heart for the poor, and you have God's heart, and I celebrate you. But when I read Haggai, it's not just a matter of what we believe, it's also a matter of what we do. Are we going to build up the church? Patchogue UMC is not the only congregation in the mainline church that has suffered decline. This Patchogue United Methodist Church is not the only mainline church that looks at the pews and the percentage of elderly people among those who are present and worries for the future. Take heart. What seemed impossible for the Jews upon their return from exile was the rebuilding of the temple. And what they needed to hear was the word of the Lord. And what they needed to do was to respond together in work. Churches are growing when they are responding to the word of the Lord. Sisters and brothers, friends of Jesus, it may be that we can do better with faithfulness and growing the church if our focus is not so much growing the church as it is in becoming the infectious Christians that we're being called to be. We may not be able to invite a neighbor who will respond to our invitation to come, although we might be able to do that. How many people did you invite to church today? I know you lost a loved one in the last year. This is All Saints Sunday. Come with me to my church. Let us lift the name of your loved one in worship. Invite. But God is calling us to respond, to work, and to build. So it's a time of discernment. What is God having you build here in your midst? I know my time is up, but let me just share a couple of things that a couple of the churches I'm involved in are doing. There's a church in Amityville that decided, like you, to feed the hungry. And they created a program called Nourish Babylon. They're not calling it a soup kitchen. What they're doing is serving one meal on Monday night, 5 o'clock, one meal a week. And they invite guests, I participate in this ministry. What I do is I pray for people and listen to people and counsel with people. What Nourish Babylon Feeding Program does is invite guests into a restaurant-style meal. There are tablecloths on the tables, flowers on the tables, there's a menu, and the chefs consult with a restaurant owner over the menu and the recipes. And so people are ushered into a climate of love where the church people are the waiters and the waitresses, and where they enjoy a meal that is healthy in the summertime with homegrown vegetables from the church garden, and delicious, where they can also be prayed for and cared for. That's Nourish Babylon. They've started a prayer service before the feeding program, and lives are being touched and changed. That's just one place. Another place, Northport, St. Paul's, my church. Pastor Christina Hansen is the pastor of that church, and I'm the one who does counseling and fills in some of the gaps. She was trying as hard as she could to build a youth group. She had excellent programs. She had excellent leaders. She brought the Presbyterian Church together with the Methodist Church, and they were offering the young people of Northport the finest youth program available. Nobody came. There's no stopping Pastor Christina. She decided to start building the youth group of 15 years from now by ministering to families with infants and young children. And so when people are baptized, they're not only instructed in the fundamentals of the Christian faith before taking the vows of raising the child in the faith, but they are also given gifts to help them nurture the faith of an infant, and invited into a program. every birthday of that growing child, the family receives a gift from the church inviting them into the ministry now appropriate for that age. Journey into hope. Good things are happening when people turn to the Lord. This is All Saints. What would the saints of the United Methodist Church of Patchogue, who have gone on to heaven, be hoping for you and your ministry here? Let us journey into hope. Let us drink in the Holy Spirit. Let us feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us discern the call that's on this congregation, but not only that, the call that's on your particular life. Who is God calling you to be, and what is God calling you to do? May God be a powerful blessing in your midst. Thanks be to God. Amen.